Father, we ask you to bring healing to our land and show us all, Lord, what we can do, what you have for us to do to bring that healing and to be the hands and feet of Yeshua in a broken world, Father. Breathe on us and encourage us and help us and fill us. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name.
Amen.
I think there are a couple of people who have testimonies. If I'm not mistaken, Jerusha might have one. And then I think Craig has something. And if anyone else does, is that Ruthanna? Okay. All right. So let's start with Jerusha.
Okay. First, I wanted to say that was a really moving song. So thanks for playing that and bringing that into part of the service. So this morning, Savora and I went on a walk earlier than normal, and Noach was going to come by and like zoom by on his bike later on after we had started our walk, and that was the plan. But then I ended up, so I was on the rail trail in Kingston and just going on my normal route, and there was somebody sitting on the bench as I passed by One Direction, and he was listening to something on his phone, and it was like, you know, I'm kind of hearing little things about prophecy and Bible and whatnot. So I passed by just walking, and basically the Lord just kind of said, the Lord gave me a phrase which basically indicated to me that I should just get out of my normal mode of things and stop and talk to him. And so on my way back, I kind of slowly went by. He was still listening to some of the same stuff. And so I just initiated the conversation, and it was really, it was clearly a divine appointment. And I was able to just share just a little bit of my testimony with him, and then Noach came on the bike back, and so we all stopped and talked with him, and just were able to, I think, have an encouraging conversation for all parties, and just kind of seeing God's hand in having me reach out beyond what I would normally do on a walk, and even in this time of feeling more separate from people, still being able to converse with somebody on the side of the road and you know, speak life to people, and you know, being able to have connections to Crossroads, that we were able to, you know, bring that up and direct him to over there and share contact information and have it possibly be a future connection where God can keep bringing life into a situation that needs it. So it was really encouraging.
Amen. Ruthanna, why don't you go next?
Okay. So during worship, I was actually outside, which was why I was off screen for a little bit, but I was praying out loud, and right before Judah spoke, I was praying, Lord, we wait for you. We wait for you morning, noon, and evening, and we praise you every morning, noon, I thought that was went along with Judah's word of encouragement. And just wanted to offer some encouragement as well from Ephesians. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3, is blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua Messiah, who has blessed in Messiah with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption as sons through Messiah Yeshua, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Messiah as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That word is very true and has always been true.
Amen. Okay, Craig.
Hallelujah. I'll just start by praying. And so, dear Father, I just ask that you would allow me to speak the truth today, and to speak your word, and really have some sort of message for everyone here. I have some idea of what I want to say, Lord, but I would like to say what you want to say, Father. So I ask that you'd help me, and that you'd bless everybody here through what you have to say, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Actually, before I start with my primary testimony, I did want to give praise to the Lord regarding a couple of days ago. I was making a sort of a soup, and sometimes I tend to cook things, and then it's at a certain point where I want it to be, save for the fact that it's still too liquidy, so I'll transfer the liquid into another pot. And you know, just as I got that last bit of liquid into another pot for the purpose of boiling it down to make it thicker, I spilled the whole thing all over the kitchen floor, and some on myself. But I don't have any burns where it hit me. So I'm grateful that I'm not hurt, and I think Natanya is also grateful that I'm alive and not hurt. And also I think she's probably more concerned with me than I was. I was very concerned about the turmeric stains all over the walls and everything. But anyway, I'm just very glad that, I think that in that small or big instance, the Lord has protected me. But you know, what I wanted to talk to today is, talk to you guys about today is, a sort of, revisiting of a memory that I have. You know, I have this tendency to write long transcripts instead of notes, which has caused me problems, because just reading from a transcript is sometimes, it's hard for me to make it sound genuine, because of course I'm just reading off of a page instead of coming from the heart. So, I mean, not that it didn't come from the heart writing it. But I think that, you know, hopefully I'll be able to cover whatever points have been made in here, and then also maybe the Lord will speak to you in what was revealed to me. So, you know, when I was younger, probably around 21, 22, this is before I began coming to Adat Chaim, And actually, I would consider it before I was actually legitimately walking with Yeshua. I was under this impression that I had everything, everything figured out, and everything about my life was just so good and easy and fantastic. I'll spare you all the details, but let's just say that really I was enjoying living an unrighteous life. And one day I was walking down Route 209 to my then girlfriend's house, and thinking about this and how happy I really thought I was and grand my life was. And out of all of that, I had this one thing that I felt that I lacked. And it was this idea that, all these believers, these Christians, they have these really grandiose testimonies about how they were broken or addicted to drugs or criminals or something. And they're like, they have this grand intervention and God has changed them and moved them in a complete 180. And, I thought for myself, like, why couldn't I have some sort of miracle and big grand testimony like that? Why can't I have that special thing to really bring to people? And, as I'm on this walk, I decide to pray, God, I have it so easy. Please make things more difficult for me so that I can have a grand testimony for other people to hear. Make it difficult for me, because what kind of believer am I that I don't have something super huge to share? So that's obviously what anybody else would ask. For the longest time, I really thought that was probably one of the stupidest prayers I've ever prayed, primarily because it came true. At least I perceived it to come true. Things did in fact become more difficult for me. I came under a significant amount of stress in my relationship. And actually, just as a side note, I would say that I would say that I probably still have some lingering PTSD from some of the stress that I went through in my relationship with that particular individual, my girlfriend. But it became harder for me to get to where I needed to go. I took on a more demanding job, working at the bakery up in Liberty, working, 60 hour to 80 hour weeks. It was very, tough for me. And then, of course, I also happened to meet you guys. I started coming to Adat Chaim, and not that in itself is a particularly difficult thing, but I found myself being challenged in ways that I had never been challenged before, as a believer. And, I think that, I mean, I wasn't really conscious of being challenged. It was kind of a transitional period for me. But I think that my behaviors and sort of my views about life were starting to change at that point. And, after coming a couple of, or well, I mean, I've been coming the whole time, but, coming a few times, I did a lot of listening, not just because some of you may do a lot of talking, but I did a lot of listening, and I don't think that I really did a lot of expressing of some of the changes that I was going through, maybe in part because I wasn't fully aware of what was going on. But at the same time, I also didn't really put up, to give myself at least some slight credit, I didn't put up a lot of walls to prevent you guys from having input in my life. And I think that there was a lot going on back then. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation actually with Judah, and talking to him about, I mean, I didn't share all of this. I just, you know, shared a small part of that prayer that, again, I referred to as a stupid prayer. And I had an epiphany. It took me a second after revisiting this memory, you know, why is it that I refer to this as a stupid prayer? It isn't, in fact, because, you know, I think, well, there's just a bunch of things that started coming in, as I was recanting this memory to Judah. And, you know, I was thinking about how this actually is, you know, I felt like I lacked this grand testimony. You know, maybe I haven't come up from some, you know, really, really amazingly difficult thing, but, or, you know, like I wasn't addicted to alcohol or anything like that. But, you know, I think that the value of my testimony now is just as significant. You know, lots of people think, lots of people who maybe also don't have it, don't have quite the same view that I do now, think that, you know, they were saved, but from what, you know, from not much. But I can see now, like, I was very, very blind, very, very stubborn, in not being able to see just what kind of life I was living and who I was and where I was going. And, so, you know, I think that I received, from that prayer, a testimony, but also, I do think that even though I perceive things to get more difficult for me, it was instead an opening of my eyes and my heart to the reality of my situation, that I don't have it easy to begin with. And I'm not happy. I don't have, the love of God in my life. And so, you know, when I reanalyze this prayer, I think it really was actually an insecurity in my relationship with God, and a desperate call for an actual real relationship with Him. And and I think that He, you know, whether or not it actually did get more difficult for me or not, He answered my prayer by showing me the all of the intricate details of the filth and garbage that I was in. And I think that this is probably, I mean, maybe it's not so clear to you guys, but for me, I very often think or talk about the prodigal son. And I think part of this testimony is why I identify with that so much, because, you know, both of us, at least for me, I was in the church world before, actually before I moved upstate. But anyway, you know, I left my community and really haven't interacted with other believers, you know, while I was living up here. And then, you know, I have this moment, kind of not exactly the same as with the prodigal son, but in the end, it's still an intervention for me. You know, I had this prayer, and then God intervened, I think, by sending me somebody at Ulster. At first, it was talking to Ruthanna, and then Mr. Lundgren started coming and talking to me there. And I feel like this particular revelation is useful to me now, and perhaps useful to you guys, because it really is to me an indication that everybody, you know, non-believers, people who call themselves believers, actual, real, legitimate believers. Everybody needs Yeshua. And I would even be willing to bet that many are in fact desperate for him and really seeking to want to have that relationship with him. And, you know, it doesn't really take a lot of effort to plant seeds. I'm not sure how much you guys may have even been cognizant of how effective you were in my life. You know, as a collective whole, how all of your sustained relationships with me really built me up into where I am and who I am today. So yeah, I do think that it really doesn't take a whole lot to plant seeds, but more importantly is we need to actually uphold and sustain our relationships with other people and just keep fighting the good fight and see everything through. And, you know, part of that is living just as an example of a person who walks in Yeshua, just living as a person who loves God and loves other people because of that. And then the other thing is also really trying to get at the heart of, you know, maybe the problems or the brokenness in other people. You know, obviously not overstepping where you know, wherever, but really thinking about all of your friends and family and maybe your acquaintances and perhaps even strangers you just meet in Walmart. Everything that you say and do matters, and I think that, you know, we can be discouraged sometimes and doubtful of just what kind of an impact we have. I know for me, I can be very doubtful that saying anything will matter or doing anything will make any difference in somebody else's life. And yet, you know, out of all of the communities, the believing communities that I've ever been a part of, you know, I'm still here. I'm still here with all of you. And that's not to, you know, to say anything bad about other church communities. But I do think that there's something about the community that I'm in here at Adat Chaim, the togetherness that we sort of, I guess, enforce. We really enforce relationship here. I think it's important to continue to do so and to not get bogged down, especially, you know, in COVID-19 and now with all of the just the awful stuff going on with riots and Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement and everything. I think that we really have a responsibility to be the light in people's lives, to spread the love of God to everyone around us. And, you know, I think that I'll just say that you know, I'm so grateful for all of you and for God and for the persistence that you know, all of you, the Lundgrens, the Keller Houses, and everybody else have had in ensuring that, you know, I'm alive. And in fact, you know, just a short side note, thinking about my abscess, that's another thing that happened right around the time of that prayer is that I would have, I think that would have taken my life if it had not been for some of the pressing or nudging that in particular, I think Mrs. L gave me regarding my dental work and everything. But anyway, you know, I'm so grateful for all of you and that persistence. And I think that not, you know, I not that I'm preaching to the choir, because again, it was you that was persistent, but maybe to everybody listening on Facebook Live, or maybe to some of you who are not feeling as though you have an impact, trust me, you do, and you need to continue being persistent in your relationships and being a light into the world. Anyway, I think that's, oh, actually, just before I go, there is one other thing that I did want to say. I've noticed that I'm actually becoming re-sensitized to certain materials. Like, I used to be able to watch all sorts of like hard action movies and, the sheer gore and, you know, with horror movies too. And I recently discovered that I can't even get through Rambo. So, you know, it's like, I don't feel like I'm lacking in not being able to enjoy that. I'm feeling very encouraged. But you know, at the same time, like I'm just amazed that that's even a possibility for me to be resensitized to material that, previously would not faze me. So anyway, the Lord bless you. And, I'll turn it over to Mr. Lundgren.
I heard it through the grapevine. There may be something else. So, Noach? No?
I was going to share it later. It's not.
Oh, I mixed it up. Sorry. Okay.
Can I just say hallelujah? That's awesome, Craig.
Yeah, everyone can unmute and say hallelujah or some other salutation, exaltation, or, you know.
Hallelujah.
Unmuted, okay.
Amen. Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Father, I just ask you to help me speak some words of life from you, and to shorten this up a bit. Just I ask you to breathe on us all, speak to us all, open our eyes to what you have for us, and our ears to what you're speaking to us, and that we would be sensitive to the opportunities that are coming out of all of the turmoil and trouble of this present time. And I ask you, Lord, pour your blessing, your love, and your provision, your comfort and encouragement on each one of us and anyone who may be listening today. Lord, we thank you that you're our sustainer, and that we came from you, we're going to you, and that you have provided all that we need for everything that we face, internally or externally, in Yeshua's name. So, I guess I'll just start with something I read about an amulet that was found in Jerusalem about 30 years ago now. An archaeology team from Tel Aviv University excavated an ancient tomb in Jerusalem that had been used by a family over many generations. Among the finds were two tiny amulets, little strips of silver, an inch or so wide and 3 to 4 inches long, rolled up into a tube to be worn on a string around the neck. Archaeologists took three years to unroll the silver tubes to make sure that the metal had a chance to slowly relax as they unrolled it so that it wouldn't disintegrate. And they found letters inscribed on the silver that dated from before the destruction of the first temple, around 600 BCE. And the Hebrew spelled out these words: the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his face to you and give you shalom, give you peace. And let me see here. So that fragment, it may probably still true. It became the oldest fragment of the scripture that's in the possession of mankind by about 400 years, from what I understand. And then I want to talk about that blessing, and I think I copied it here. So it's
excuse me, where is the blessing? Where in the scriptures? I can't find it.
I'm about to tell you.
Sorry.
It's funny, I actually didn't put it's in it's Numbers 6:24-26. So I'm going to start at the 22nd verse. It says this: then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Now, that's the entirety of the blessing. How many blessings are in it? Can anyone tell me? There are three lines, each of which has two blessings, for a total of six blessings. And then there's the 27th verse, which isn't actually part of the blessing, where you find the seventh blessing, which is, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. So what is blessing? It's generally it's affirmation, and I'm actually trying to find it's a word of favor, affirmation, and power given by a father or one in authority or by God himself to one subject to him. So racing back at the speed of light to the creation, you might remember that God blessed everything, and he blessed Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Words have power, and the Torah takes words to have a sort of an intrinsic power, and the Word of God certainly is filled with power. The scriptures say that it's alive, it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. There are some really, really masterful sword makers in this world, and their swords, I will tell you, are really, really sharp. It's sharper than that, and it can slice through things that those swords can't even touch. So and then the scriptures also tell us that that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I guess there's probably not too much time during my life ever in which I'm not noticing one thing or another about the power of the tongue, but I got to say right now, it's really quite apparent what speech can do and undo, how it can bless or it can curse. And I mentioned a new acquaintance I have to you a while ago. It's actually yielded out of one of our prayerful shopping trips, the Walmart outreaches. And that fellow messaged me yesterday. I asked him how he was. And one of the things he said was, he said, I keep crying and I don't know why. And he said, I'm feeling pain, but it's not my own. And I don't understand. And he also expressed that he feels that we're doomed. Near as I can figure, he seems to be a believer at some level. He seems to not feel that he's personally doomed, but I didn't have time to communicate too much with him. I think I just sent him one scripture that would speak something different than what he was feeling. He seems to be a person that wants to do justice, speak justice, and see justice done. But like all of us, there are things that get under his skin, make him angry, and he has presuppositions. And I don't know, have any of you ever heard of George Soros? I almost thought it was a joke to ask, but not everyone has, I guess, right? I was thinking about making a joke to the effect that Fox News reported yesterday that, contrary to what has been believed and they felt was proved, maybe it's not fair to Fox, but just apply the name of any news outlet you want, that it has been disproved against all previously found evidence that George Soros and Bill Gates are not aliens sent from another planet to take over the world and destroy humanity. I happen to notice on this guy's Facebook page a picture of George Soros, or supposedly it was George Soros, wearing an SS uniform as a young man. And the first thought I had was, I don't think so. I mean, I didn't even feel like I needed to think. It's like, oh man. I looked it up just to find out what was said. And there's this photo that's being circulated. And I just want to mention slander for a moment. You know, we can get involved in it without meaning to. Even sometimes things that don't seem like nasty, even things that are positive can sometimes end up being slander. But there are things that seem reasonable that people put out there, and then people post them or repeat them. But now it's so easy to spread it all over the place. People just repost because they figure that something must be true, but they don't check. Can anyone tell me where Auschwitz was, by the way?
In Poland.
Yeah, I don't know how far the lies go, but at any rate, the picture that's being circulated as a picture of George Soros is actually a young picture of Oscar Kruning, a former SS sergeant who became known as the accountant of Auschwitz. That's according to information provided to the Associated Press by the Memorial and Museum Auschwitz-Birkenau in Poland. So I'm quite certain the person that started it knew who the picture was of, don't you suppose? It wouldn't have to be, but George Soros is being blamed for all sorts of things. And I gotta say, even though he's just one person, that this slander about him having been a Nazi officer is actually just one facet in a massive unleashing of anti-Semitism. Soros is a Jew, although he wryly talks about his own house as being an anti-Semitic Jewish household. He's funded all kinds of things. He's given $32 million away, a lot of it to things that we wouldn't agree with. Some of it probably to things that we would. He has sought to give aid to the Romani, which it seems to me would be a good thing to do. The only point I'm trying to make there is that he may be involved in evil things. I think he's also involved in things that some of us would support. But who the man really is and exactly what all he's doing may not be as easy to answer as just listening to things or reading things that are posted on Facebook, or that he's funding the people that are looting and burning and sending people to towns to cause trouble. I just want to encourage you all to be really careful what you believe, what you pass on. Just be really careful. If you hear something that seems valid, that seems like it's even, you know, of any worth to check into, like a useful piece of information, try to do everything you can to check it out and find out whether or not it's true before you pass it on to anybody. We end up polluting each other, polluting other people, and doing damage. Well, frankly, doing damage to the reputation of Messiah, God's reputation, to the reputation of those that name the name of Messiah. And then we can just plain damage individuals that, I recently suggested to someone I know who's rather close to me but doesn't live anywhere near here that due process was something that the person he was speaking about deserved. It became apparent to me shortly thereafter that he neither knew what due process was nor thought that somebody that he presumed was guilty deserved it. Well, easy to think that way until you're accused of something you never did, right? Then all of a sudden, maybe it matters. But due process is something that the guilty, that the evil, and that the righteous all should get according to God. It simply means that if there's a case against someone, that there are ways in which it has to be conducted in order to be righteous and just. You can't convict someone in the Torah of a serious crime without the witness of at least two witnesses. You can't do it based on one. And there are many principles and regulations and statutes that have to do with how one represents another person. So anyway, the notion that somebody is a really, really, really bad person, so therefore they don't deserve to be treated with justice because they're so evil, I don't know, maybe we need to be really sure what principles we're really going by and whether or not what we have in mind sometimes says anything to do with the likeness of Yeshua at all. But getting back to trying to keep track of the time here, getting back to this blessing, the Aaronic benediction or Birkat Kohanim, it is a blessing from the priests to the people of Israel. I believe that it's an extension of the blessing that God originally pronounced upon creation and upon Adam and Eve. And I believe that further, his plan was to extend that blessing far beyond Israel. And by the way, when the priests blessed Israel, they were blessing everyone that came out of Egypt with them. All of the people, I don't know how many different kinds of people there were. Well, there's only one kind of human being, but you understand what I mean. They may have been different colors. They may have had different facial structures. I don't really know how many different ones there were. There was a mixed multitude, and there were a lot of them. But they all became part of that body at Sinai, and they all entered into that covenant at Sinai, and that blessing was for all of them. But God's plan was always to send his son, the Messiah, and to bring redemption much farther than it had gone, though it was always available to the nations of the world through, well, God made himself evident, but also those that knew of Israel and heard of their laws could come into Israel and be treated, well, according to God, they were to be treated justly. The scriptures say this to Israel in Deuteronomy, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" The Torah demands due process, and the Torah demands that strangers and aliens be treated with the same equity and justice as a native-born countryman. And the scriptures that we read and the teaching of the Messiah, which, by the way, is a teaching of all scripture and a greater revelation of it, is that we should treat everyone with equity and justice, that we should not look down on anyone because of anything about them, whether it be a prostitute, a beggar, a thief, or someone that looks very different from us from another nation, or just a neighbor down the road that comes from the same European origin that most of us happen to, that we don't like. We are to treat them justly. We are to speak of them equitably. We are to do as we would to them the way that we would hope everyone would do to us. And I'm going to read you a little bit from Acts chapter 17. Before that, though, I want to ask you, you all know Adam and Eve had children, right? Can anyone tell me what color they were?
People color.
Can you tell me what color Adam was or what color Eve was?
They couldn't have been very pale because we all come from the same genetic stock.
Yeah, they may well have been very dark. I don't know quite what they looked like, but I am convinced of one thing. I think that when they had children, those children could have come out any color. You know why? Because Adam and Eve had all of the original genetic information in them, and it was all active that anybody on the face of the earth has in them today. So the thing is, I think they could have had yellow kids, red kids, black kids, brown kids, white kids, whatever white is. I always wonder, I wonder more about that one than any of them really, but you know, white people aren't white and black people aren't black, although there are some people that look almost black. They're absolutely beautiful, but most people that are referred to as black are not that dark. But you know, I've always loved faces my whole life. Faces from all over the world, faces of every color and shape. I've always been amazed by human faces and just how completely human and astounding they are. But at any rate, Adam and Eve probably weren't the color I am. And as a non-Anglo-Saxon, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, because I'm not Anglo or Saxon, well, I'm not being fair now. I'll just say I don't like blonde, blue-eyed pictures of Yeshua in Last Supper's or any other painting. I just don't like them because they just don't make sense to me. I have the right to say that because I'm light-skinned. Or maybe just because the Bible wasn't supported. Anyway, so I'm going to read this from Acts 17, starting at the 24th verse. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Oh, he gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Huh. That they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and exist. And even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Now I'm going to jump over to Ephesians 2, starting at the 11th verse. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, in the flesh. Who are the Gentiles, by the way? Are there two countries in the world, Gentile and Israel? Or Gentilia? I don't know. What would I call it? What was made into one? Therefore, remember that formerly the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. So which groups did he make into one? I think sometimes when people say Gentile, I'm not even sure what they think. I know a lot of Jewish people think it means Christian. I mean, that's what they think, or Catholic. They think there are two kinds of people, you know, not all Jews, but you run into it fairly often. Gentile, it's like it means Christian, or it could just mean Catholic, but it doesn't, of course. So made both groups into one. You know, in the history of our country, which I am no expert on, like in the, I don't know what they call it, the conquest of the Northwest, European settlers systematically exterminated the Yahi tribe and other tribes in the Northwest. They didn't think of them as human, I don't think, or if they did, they didn't think they had as much right to the land or life as they did. We've done a lot of nasty things. One of our presidents hired a criminal who he pardoned to go around and poison wells and burn out Native Americans. You know, I love America. I think America is a great country. It has been. I don't know. I think it might have been greater at one time than it is now. I'm not always sure how to assess it. But horrible, horrible things have gone on in this country. And, you know, people would lynch Black people and take pictures of themselves and their friends with the person they killed and make postcards out of them, for goodness sake. They'd take fingers as souvenirs. I mean, we don't have a right to think that we are so much better than everybody else on the face of the earth, if any of us think that, but some Americans think that way. And some of them think that way even while thinking that doing such things is their right. It's, you know, we should know enough about what has gone on in our own country to both be sickened by it and encouraged by it. It's not about hating the country. It's about not having a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. The only righteousness we have is in Messiah Yeshua, any of us. There's no righteousness apart from him. The Apostle Paul didn't have his own righteousness, and neither do we. And we may be living in a frightening time. A lot of people are frightened. I don't blame them for being frightened. But the truth of the gospel and the power of God are absolutely no different this moment than they were before the rioting and the looting started. And we've been through things like this before. God hasn't changed. He never changes. He doesn't lack what we need now. He doesn't lack power himself or lack power to give us to do justice. We may lack imagination. We may not spend enough time seeking his face sometimes, but he's not lacking and neither is his word. And he's called us to be salt and light. And I don't know, maybe Facebook is different for everybody, but it's a dangerous place. And it's more dangerous now, I think, than I've started to learn how to do things like somebody sends me a message about something horrible and respond to something like, I'm talking about text messages at the moment. When are you going fishing? And it worked. They start talking about fishing instead of that stuff. I'm going, I don't need to get into it. I don't even need to say, I don't want to talk about that. I'm not interested. Please don't do that. I just say something else. And with some people, it works. They just start talking about fishing. Or you could say, hey, did you read anything, you know, like really encouraging from God's word today? That works sometimes. Because, you know, sometimes the same people have done that too. And we shouldn't judge them as completely bad because they send us something we think is reprehensible. And sometimes they might even be right and we're wrong. Who knows? I try to remember that I could be wrong too. But
At any rate, the Gentiles are everybody except Israel. That's a lot of people. A lot of people with blazingly, beautifully different appearances, sizes and shapes, cultures and cuisine. It's an amazing world filled with amazing people. And by the way, no matter what's happening on any day in this world, this is still a world of wonder. And you can lose track of that. I don't like Nietzsche, but I will say this: if you stare long enough into the abyss, it will begin to stare back into you. So be careful where you spend your time looking, because you can just eviscerate yourself with all that junk that's out there. Even trying to do the right thing in your own eyes by doing a bunch of research so you can prove something's wrong might just be poisoning you to death. Be very careful what you let yourself get into. It's an old cliche by now, but you know, they don't teach people that deal with counterfeit money. They don't have them study the counterfeits. They don't have them study the lie. They have them study the real thing until they can tell it from anything else that comes along. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to know everything about every lie and every vile thing in order to combat it. We need to know the one who is the truth, who is life, who is our peace. And he is the peace for all of humanity, no matter how troubled humanity is right now. He is our peace and he can be their peace. And that is what we need to believe, and that is what we need to seek to bring to people in any way that we can. And just make sure you build yourself up. Make sure you spend time in the truth. Read things that are edifying and that build you up. Don't steep yourself in all the junk that's out there. It's one thing to know the news and what's going on, and I'm not that good at keeping up with the news, but it's another thing to just boil yourself in it. It's not safe, it's not healthy. It won't make you a better person to get too involved in every last thing that's going wrong. Know what you need to know and just ask God for grace. So he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. There was only one man to begin with. There is only one mankind now. But God wants to make all the divergent and fractured things into one new mankind. That's what he came to do. That's why he chose Israel. Israel's call was to the nations of the world. It was God's plan to bring the gospel to the nations through Israel. It hasn't changed. The order hasn't changed. And it's not because anybody is better than anybody else. It's because God loved everybody enough to choose somebody through which to bring his love and blessing to all. So, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So this is the word to everybody. This is what they can belong to. This is what they can become part of. This is a place everyone belongs, where God is near to all and brings all near and makes all one. This is the only hope for humanity. We can't create a wonderful, just society without God being at the center. People that don't believe can do justly in many ways, that's true, but they can't bring justice and they can't transform society. Yeshua is the only one that can do it. This is what people need to know, is that God sent his son to make everyone into one and create of all one group where there is no victim and no oppressor, but there is one God over all, where all do justice and all get treated rightly and all are healed and all are given meaning and purpose and dignity. And that is the message that we have for people. And that is the message we can bring to them in a thousand different ways that God will reveal to us as we go along, whether it's just saying hello to somebody at Walmart one night when you don't even feel like you have the gumption to open your mouth, or starting a conversation with a stranger along the road, or it's just opportunity all around. People are in need. People are scared. People are upset. People are disillusioned. And some people, many people, are in a state where they just might be open to the gospel now because the things they've trusted in don't seem so solid right now to many people. So let's ask the Lord to make us salt and light and abide in him and seek his face for his power and his understanding, and mainly, first of all, stay close to him, know him, let him know you. He already does, but he likes it when we actually seek to try to show ourselves to him and not just assume, well, he knows it all already anyway. He likes us to talk to him about us and what's inside, and he likes to send us and make us fruitful in the context of broken humanity. So I think I'm done. You're not powerless, none of you. There are no powerless people in the kingdom. You have power in you. You have your own testimony, and you have the truth of the scriptures, and Yeshua lives in you, and he's given you of his spirit. So you are you're reconcilers of broken humanity in Yeshua, and that's it's his joy to use you for it, and there's joy in doing it. Amen and amen. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha ve'yichunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha, Yasem lecha shalom.